right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, Mr. Tom McGinnis. Tom, good morning.
Morning, Mark, and congratulations on your new position. Glad to be with you.
Oh, thank you so much, man. Great to be on the same station as you again, my friend. I appreciate that. So everyone looks at Tom McGinnis and listens to Tom McGinnis with great excitement, great anticipation for tonight. So what are your emotions going into a game like tonight?
Well, honestly, you know, for me, like, it's not important until 8 o'clock, so I try to be on a low hum, if you will, up until game time, and these late starts, which we're not complaining, make for long days. We're about to go to practice now at the Garden. And, you know, it's certainly been a season full of anticipation. It's been 5 months since we were here for the playoffs, and it'll be a supreme test tonight, that's for sure.
Tom, two guys that I have to look at through all the losing, right? I mean, you and Brett Brown. I mean, never wavered. Always the same attitude every single day, going from 19 to 18 to 10 to 28 wins and then coming off a 52-win season. So after that long journey, what's it like to go into a season trying to pick up where they left off last year after those 52 wins? What's that like for you?
Well, I mean, for me, I'm just describing the games. For Coach, I mean, he lived it. And I think he explained it to our marketplace and to the NBA general and basketball fans in total the whole time. A lot of those post-game press conferences after lopsided defeats, he gave that positivity and that hope, like almost like Robin Hood, where we were going to come back and do it again the next day and persevered. And he's led us to this point. So it's great. But there's a lot of expectations, and that to me is exciting, and it should be, but it's also a little worrisome just because, you know, you want our guys to deliver, and it's not maybe as easy as some teams, as some people think, in terms of some of these other teams that are out there. And, you know, the East may have, you know, lost LeBron, but it's still going to be very competitive.
Tom, we saw it for years, just as you just said, all the down times, how he would come back every day and have those guys ready to go in the gym, and himself just being so upbeat. And Brett, I'm talking, I noticed something different yesterday when we talked to him on the air, that he was kind of low-key, and Mark brought it up earlier, like that he was a little disappointed that there was no rah-rah. You talk to him a lot. I know all the pregame shows you do. Do you kind of sense that a little bit, that I don't want to say the attitude's changed, but the outlook of, all right, here we go, is more business-like from Brett this year?
Well, I think so. And a little bit back to Mark's point about the continuity, we definitely have that. I believe there's 9 players that have come back, and he really hasn't had that at any other point where you can kind of pick up where you left off, and they've done that because the guys understand the concepts, and they've actually tweaked some things, Bob. They've geared these last few days to be sure toward the Boston Celtics and how it's going to go, and trying to make some of the adjustments for different things that went awry in that series, specific things. I mean, right down, as Coach would say, to the granular level. So no doubt, and there's some pressure, you know, with expectations and with these two great young players that have it. But you know, he's been very, I mean, you would expect him to be on the court very businesslike, and, you know, the time that they put into planning, not just practices, but to every single aspect of, and it's a huge job, organization. Of course, over the summer, he had, you know, other duties as well in terms of being the general manager there for a little while. So no doubt about it, but he's very bullish. I mean, he's positive. He definitely believes that this franchise has an opportunity to be, you know, right near the top for the next 10 years and compete for championships, which has been the goal all along.
Speaking to the great Tom McGinnis, Tom, when you look at this team, do you have your own set of expectations for what they can accomplish this year?
Well, I mean, I think mine's aligned with everybody else's. And, you know, again, I kind of, believe it or not, a little reserved during, and then when it happens, it explodes, and it's unbelievable. And that's the beauty of sport. In terms of what I anticipate. I mean, you know, I was an athlete in Bob Lapp, but I mean, at whatever level, you go through things like mental preparation of what you expect. I think it's carried into my life, and I would think everybody does that in certain aspects of their business life, their person's planning. And for me, I think about how the game will unfold. I think of every little thing, where I sit, how the game goes, what happens before the game. Right now, we're about to get on a bus and go to practice. All of those things. And in the games, I know how Boston plays. I know what our players are capable of. But the beautiful thing about being an announcer in this realm is you get to call live action, and nobody really knows how the games will play out, you know, until they actually occur. And that's what makes for the passionate, you know, take on it, if you will, that I bring to the table.
Speaking with Tom McGinnis, Tom, you covered a lot of entertaining athletes, but looking at Joel Embiid, is he right up there with a guy like Allen Iverson in terms of being dynamic on and off the floor?
Well, for sure, and I think it starts with their athletic ability. I mean, Allen was just a phenom, a once-in-a-generation type of player at 6 feet, 165 pounds, with that quickness and that athletic agility and that drive, I mean, and the heart and the fight. You know, that's what makes a guy like that special. And Joel, at his size, to have the ability and the hand-eye coordination and the motor skills and the foot quickness, and it's just incredible to see that package. He had a play the other day in practice, and where he led the break and he throws a dime to Covington, and Cov misses the layup. And, you know, that's something he's been working on. And then now the ball goes the other way, and because Joel Embiid led the break, Amir Johnson was at the other end wide open. He thinks he's getting a layup. Well, Joe's ticked that they didn't get the layup at their end. He swats the ball so hard off the glass, it goes to like midcourt. And then there's a foul situation, and Embiid, this is where the leadership comes in. Tough. What's going on? You know, so I think we're seeing a lot more of that from both Ben and Joel. This is their team, and Covington's certainly been here longer than anybody. He's a leader on this squad as well. Point being that he has checks the box, as they say, in a lot of areas. And I think most importantly, and people don't look at this, but it is that defense, because that's what's going to be what the Sixers, if they get to where they want to go, it's going to be because of that end of the floor.
Tom, the steady progression of Dario Saric, I think, has kind of gone underplayed in his years here. He came here, he had a good year. Then he needed to work on shooting. Brett said so. He did. Became such a better shooter last year, a threat from outside. I still think there's so many more things he can do. We've seen it in practice, his passing, his ball handling. We talk all the time about Embiid, Simmons, Fultz. Do you see him being just like that guy that, all right, maybe you forget about, but he's as vital as those other guys?
Absolutely. I'm a huge fan of Dario. And again, you know, like so many other players, like Ben, like Markel, like Joel, he's a young player, and he has a great ceiling. There's still a lot of room for improvement, and he's a very good all-around player. When you look at the latter two games in our series with Boston, the Sixers were feeding Dario.
Right.
Dario was a real threat down there, and he just does so many things well. And you're right, Bob, the fact that he shot it as well as he did. And guess what? We need that again and then some.
Yeah.
Because that position in the NBA, you've got to be a three-point threat and consistent at that. And he's just the ultimate team player. He's got such a tremendous personality. I remember last year in the playoffs, we went to Fenway Park and we watched the game that was the Red Sox and the Royals. And Dario was the only player that went. And we had a bus, and there was like 12 or 15 of us. And Dario got on the bus, and we all hooped and hurled, led by him, because he's such a fun guy to be around that. And we remember how much fun he had at the World Series in Houston. So, I mean, he's really, like, amongst the group, he's certainly one of the glue-type guys that you really root for. And I think he is underrated, and understandably so, just because of the marquee names you have at the top of the bill. But he's an awful good basketball player. You know, for him, because the switching, they want him to be a little bit more mobile and, you know, try to work on his lateral quickness a little bit and be able to stay in front of some of these guys. Because tonight, you know, you're going to be swapping out on Brown or Tatum, and they got some guys, you know, in the wings that he'll end up guarding. And that's life of the NBA at that spot, particularly at that size. And that's not easy for a 6'10 player. But Dario was really his whole thing in life. His parents were players, to be a professional athlete, and he's a good one, and I'm just so glad we have him.
Tom McGinnis, I know the players always talk about rivalry games. It gives them a little extra edge, a little extra oomph going into the game, and I know Ben Simmons said yesterday that any team that's not the 76ers is his biggest rival, but does it work for an announcer too? When it is a rivalry game like the Celtics, does that add a little extra oomph to you?
Oh, yeah. No, trust me. Like, I remember during the series last year, a friend of mine said, look, we've been trying to go through these guys for 50 years, and it hasn't turned out well. And he's right. Think about it. So, you know, like, there's total begrudging respect for Boston. I mean, when you go in there, it's just, Like, we have to break through. We're ding dong, the Wicked Witch is dead. We got to put these guys down at some point. And it starts tonight, and we'll be back here on Christmas. And, you know, these are statement type games. But, you know, like, and same thing with New York. I can't stand, you know, like, I follow the Knicks, I follow the Celtics, but, you know, right in the back recesses of your brain, there's some real, you know, for both these franchises. But you also have to respect where they've been. And, you know, they're so deep. I mean, to me, for Boston, it's about chemistry. They have everything. Their second team might make the playoffs in the East. So it's about, you know, guys not trying to take over and be dominant like these NBA players are so used to doing, but blending in and sacrificing your game a little bit so that guys like Hayward can kind of get into a groove and whatnot. And Brad Stevens has done a tremendous job. And, you know, they've got a chance to be obviously one of the best teams in the NBA. And it's so hard to project, but I mean, they could compete for a championship easily and win their 18th banner. I mean, that's how good they are. And I think that's how stacked they'll be. And whether it's Golden State or whomever, they're in that kind of realm, I think, for sure. So no doubt it's a rivalry. I mean, when I first started, they weren't any good. And it was ML Carr was the coach. They were horrible. I mean, they would come in and they were like, oh my God. And guess what? We weren't winning 50 games at that point either. But, so no, they're obviously very good and, just a little bit of a dip there. And they're going to be good for years to come as well.
Absolutely. Tom McGinnis, thank you so much for jumping on with us, my man. Have a great season. I'm sure we'll talk to you down the line.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom.
Absolutely. The great Tom McGinnis.